Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome, and with us today, I have Sarah from A Motherhood Project. Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Someone linked us together on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, she sounds so cool. So somebody had thought we would get along, and I'm so glad they did. And so why don't you just tell us, like, what got you into the homeschooling world, and what are you all about? What's A Motherhood Project?
So I know during COVID and after COVID, there was like a huge increase in homeschoolers. But I actually started homeschooling my oldest way before COVID. So she's now a sophomore in our local high school, but I pulled her out when she was in kindergarten. And I was home with my middle, who had been born at that time. And there was like this intuitive thing. Like, she came home one day, was looking in the mirror and said to me, "Mama, I don't like my face. I don't like my nose." And we just got into a conversation. And there was, even in kindergarten, this really interesting dynamic of cattiness and gossipness and relationship stuff that I was like, I just want her to be a kid. So how can I make this happen, right? That was where I was at. Like, I just want her to be a kid for longer. Never even had thought about homeschooling up to that point. Felt like I was walking into the blind, don't know what I'm doing. But found really quickly that even back then, there was a pretty strong community, local community to where I was of homeschoolers.
And what state are you in?
New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm in New Jersey. At that point, I was in Essex County, New Jersey. And even then, yeah, I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. The plethora of information, resources, classes, people was pretty cool. So very quickly, we kind of built our little group. And I homeschooled her from that point, from kindergarten to fifth. And then I had a lot going on with my middle, with early intervention and therapy. And I kind of always evaluate it per child, per year, and mm-hmm. see if it's still working for everybody, then great. And once it stops working, then I reevaluate. So she went back to school, and she's been back in school. But I'll tell you that I'm so grateful that I did homeschool her, because her emotional intelligence and maturity is so above her peers. And I feel like my why for my little ones now, I have a 9 and a 6-year-old, is that foundation, like that really strong base. She got that. And she's able to navigate all the things that they're navigating now fairly well. And so I don't know if I'm going to homeschool my boys forever or until when, but we really are enjoying the process right now.
And I think that's so important for people to feel like you failed or gave up because you homeschooled them for a certain amount of time and then put them back into school or put them into school for the first time, you know, later on. Like, it is all a journey. You did your part. You were with her for the formative years and instilled things in her to help her. Like, you have to enter the real world at some point, right? Like, we can't, if they're just going to go to college at 18, you know what I mean? Well, then is that your failure? You know, you didn't homeschool them for college too. So I think parents have to know that, well, one, if you do choose to homeschool, it doesn't mean it's forever. Maybe it's just this point in time because there's so much craziness going on and, you know, this school or there's this agenda or this funding source or whatever, for whatever reason. But it doesn't mean it's forever. It just means that my kid needs a little bit more from me before mm-hmm. I unleash them unto this world.
mm-hmm. Yes. I don't like boxes. My people in my community know I don't. I'm always saying never in a box, never in a box. I see homeschooling like that too. I love it. There's a lot of things I love it, but I do. All my kids are different. I mean, I know you sure know that too. What they need from me is different. my son, actually, we did pull him out during COVID, and he was doing really well in school, actually. He was in an ABA classroom that he got out of really quickly because of everything we were doing.
What is ABA?
He's on the spectrum. So it's basically like applied behavioral. I forget the last A, what it stands for, but essentially it was a smaller classroom, like a contained classroom. And he is on the spectrum. And so at a point in time, he had lost language and regressed, and we were doing a lot. And when he entered the classroom, they told me he was going to be there for 2 years. He was out very quickly, and we were doing a lot, but he really liked school and he was doing great. But then COVID happened, and then it wasn't so great. Like, I could not get this kid to sit in front of a screen for my life. And we started the battles, and I was like, why am I having this much anxiety and making my child so anxious over kindergarten online? Like, this makes no sense. But I was even more scared to pull the plug on him, because he is the child that makes me work for it daily. And so I knew it was going to be a whole different experience. And it has been. And I kind of just look at that, like, each individual child, what their needs are, what they need from me. He's Lucas. So my 9-year-old is fairly social, likes to be with people. And then my little one could be fine with me here doing like outside stuff all day. And so finding that harmony between what they all need can be a little difficult sometimes. But even on the hardest days for me, when I look at the bus passing by and I like daydream, like, oh, I wish they were taking them today for a little while, I'm still like so thankful that we get to really like choose how our days are spent. I really in this season like that.
So your middle child, is he homeschooled now or is he in school now?
He is homeschooled now.
Yes. So he was doing well before COVID. And what made you decide to keep him home after COVID?
Well, I feel like there was a very major shift in, I don't think there's a structural problem with schools. I think schools are operating just the way they were built to operate. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, there's a systemic issue. No, that's how they want it to be, right? If you like look at the history of schools.
Yeah.
So once you understand that, you already kind of feel like, oh, I don't know about this, right? Like, I really want my kid to be a critical thinker and think for themselves and know that they really can create whatever life they want, and there is no ceiling if they really have like that internal locus of motivation, right? Mm-hmm. But then past COVID, I feel like value-wise, there was such a shift in the schools, and there were just things being introduced to kids way too young.
Yeah.
Not that they can't have these conversations, because my teenager can have them. She's mature. She can handle it. But again, what pulled me to homeschool my daughter was like, how can I just keep her as a child longer? Mm-hmm. Is my same why right now. I don't need them exposed to all of these things that just developmentally they're not ready for.
Right.
Let me instill my values, what's important to us as a family. And then reevaluate later on again, you know, what I feel is the right choice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. And I agree with you so much too, when you look at the history of the Rockefellers kind of donating these millions and billions, and, you know, it was probably millions at the time, mm-hmm. but if you equated to billions in today's money into the school system to create like the worker bee concept of, I want workers to keep my business going who don't think critically, so that they can't come back and be like, why are we doing it this way? It doesn't make sense, or invent something better. And yeah, it's hard. But when you know that, and having instilled in your daughter kind of, you know, the creativity growing up, you can kind of have her just be aware that that's what's going on, so that she can sort of, I don't know if rise above it is a good way to put it, but know that, yeah, there's everything. And my sister's kids all went to public school, and they, the older two that have graduated, yeah, it's like you leave school and they're like, well, what now? And, you know, one went to school for 2 years, the other one went into the army, and they still are both like, yeah, what now? You spend so many years in the system. So if you do the 12 years plus kindergarten is 13, which is full day now, that's 13 years. And then maybe another 4 years of college, 17 years, and they're still not knowing what they want to do when they get out or how to make it happen. It's really crazy.
It is. It really is. So we have those conversations all the time. My daughter is definitely a multi-passionate entrepreneur from the time she was little. She loves a lot of things. She excels in a lot of things. And I'm always like turning her wheels like, okay, so how, you know, how is it that you can do that? She loves writing and loves poetry. And so we're talking about, let's get a book published on Amazon. That could be fun. So, and we talk again about, you know, like having adult directed activities all day and that like external versus external locus of motivation, where if you have someone telling you what to do all day and you're a good student, that doesn't necessarily always translate to you having the internal skill set to work when you have to do it on your own to achieve the things when nobody's on top of you telling you what to do or where there's no consequence for you not doing it. And for somebody who does want to work for themselves, that's a pretty important skill to have because you're figuring it out. And so I talk to her about that all the time. Everything is figure outable. But there's a specific skill set that you need to like sharpen that school, even though she's a great student, she's an honor student, she's athletic as can be. That doesn't come from me. Even then, that kind of accountability for those projects that she has isn't fully there. But we have the conversation and she's working on it. And I at least want to make sure like, those are things that she is aware of and know that they're going to be helpful for her, like as an adult, for sure.
Now, how do you think you came to the realizations of like, this is what kind of how the world works and what needs, this is what I need to provide my daughter with right now? Like, you weren't homeschooled, were you?
No.
No. And and neither was I. How did you get to this point?
I honestly feel like when I pulled her out, so up until that point where she went to kindergarten and it was just like this, that's why I go, when you have the calling and you can't really explain it sometimes, it's just like an intuitive feeling and you feel it and you don't act on it sometimes because you're scared. But if you just take the leap and try, so many things can shift from that point on, because I was the epitome of, I'm still sort of type A, not to say I'm not, but do what I have to do, go to college because that's what you have to do to be successful and have a good career and make a lot of money because I like having really nice things, get good grades, be nice, everybody has to like you, a people pleaser for sure. And when I started to homeschool her, which interestingly enough, the journey we had with my middle, because I had to show up for him as a parent, totally different, I feel like was the catalyst for me to like peel all the layers off and be like, okay, maybe the mom I've been for 6 years could have some improvements. And then my mindset just totally started to shift after that. So it was like, homeschool coupled with the experience I had as a mom with a child who had so many things going on, the parent I had to be for him kind of transformed the parent I became for her. And I'm so glad it did because just the other day, she's like, you know, I told my teachers that my mom doesn't really care about my grades. I said, Ariana, it's not that I don't care about your grades. It's that they're not the most important thing to me. Right.
Yeah.
I don't hound you for it. Why did you get a B if you could get an A? My questions usually go, Did you understand it? What did you learn? What was difficult? What could you have done different? It's not that pressure for mm-hmm. perfection that I put on myself, which led to an adult that was very anxious. So mm-hmm. I don't want that for my kids for sure.
Yeah. So much of that resonates with me. I'm sure the listeners too. And isn't that funny how things become a catalyst for something else? And I think COVID was a catalyst for a lot of parents. I know I was doing the whole like 9 to 5 in a cubicle for 15 years, scoot the kids out to daycare. And well, I only had my son at the time, and COVID hit, and I don't know. There was just something I'd always kind of felt in the back of my mind, like it'd be interesting if like, you know, there, it was more than what we see. And then, you know, like after 9/11, watched a couple documentaries. I'm like, yeah, that is weird how that building mm-hmm. fell out of nowhere. And, you know, like you're building 7, you know, so like questioning some things, and then COVID hit. And I was like, something's not right, people. Come on. And I didn't understand when I would post something on Facebook or something like, hey guys, if you see it the way I do, we're all going to be on the same page. And like, people were like, you're the devil. No. So that's when I was kind of like, oh, wait, there's like two worlds going on. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. only some yeah. of us can see it. So yeah. And then I was like, what am I doing with my life in a cubicle? We spend all these years kind of training for that at our school desk, right? Like in yeah. these cement walls. And then just to do it again when we're, like you said, successful, because, you know, I made money and had, you know, healthcare and was waiting for this pension. And mm-hmm. then I think COVID happened. And I was like, well, what if they collapse the dollar? I'm not going to get a pension. Or what if they just mm-hmm. say the pension fund's gone? I'm not going to get that pension. And, you know, what if this and what if that? What if healthcare isn't really good? So yeah, I reevaluated a lot. And so I've been home since my daughter was born with the both of them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I missed a lot of stuff with my son while he was at daycare. And mm-hmm. one of the other guests had said it really good. They were like, those are the best hours in my child's day is mm-hmm. that time between like 8 and 4. Like mm-hmm. that's when they're like absorbing the most stuff and doing the most things and making connections, and like you're missing all that. And it's, and I know not everybody can do it, but I also think we've been indoctrinated for so many years now that it's like, we can't make it work because, you know, maybe our parents did this and, it, or, you know, you got into debt young, earlier on, you know, there's like, it's a rolling tumbleweed effect, but it is hard. It's hard to pull yourself out of too, this little matrix that we're in. But how do you prepare? Like, I know you've been doing it well so far, but like, how do we prepare our kids for like this real world? Like when they graduate our, you know, just living in our household, you mm-hmm. know, whether you homeschool or public school or private school, but just how do we prepare them for like realizing that there's so much more? Or, you know, what kid wants to be like, oh, I want to sit in a cubicle for the rest of my life. You know, like how do we get them to see there's endless possibilities?
I think that's a good question. And I find it interesting oftentimes when people who don't homeschool point out like, well, when are your kids going to know the real world? And I'm always like, well, is the real world them being in school inside of 4 walls all day? Like, is that how we interact as adults? No. So how did that become the real world when yeah. homeschooled kids? And I understand, listen, I just said never in a box. So I know there are homeschool families, and I worked in child abuse for 5 years, and there were some families homeschooling that I'm like, we need eyes on that family.
Yeah.
Like, there is stuff that happens everywhere, right? But if we, and sometimes social media leaves no room for nuance, which is the other problem. But if we just say, okay, all of the homeschool families that I know and I have ever known and talked to and socialized with, their kids are out all the time. They're interacting with kids of all ages. They're interacting with people of different ethnic backgrounds. They are going to classes. They're with adults. And it always kind of still surprises me to get that question, because I'm like, I don't know if that's not the real world of them just having these daily experiences, then I'm not sure that we want to be on the same real world. And that's okay, because people, again, their value system, their perception, their experiences are all different.
Are you trying to pick a curriculum but feel a little overwhelmed at the variety of options? Me too. I mean, how do you pick a curriculum when you don't know what each one has to offer? Well, I am here to help. I just launched a premium content curriculum series where I interview homeschooling students and parents about specific curriculum each week so that you can take the guesswork out of your curriculum choices. I'll be asking questions like, what does the day-to-day look like with this curriculum? How long does one lesson take to complete? How many lessons does the curriculum contain, and what was the cost? Did you have to order the books, or could you download and print somewhere like a library? Does this curriculum have a lot of reading, writing, games, or crafts? Did your child enjoy this curriculum? Can you do it with more than one child at a time? And if I were to do this curriculum with my child, would I need to add any other supplemental curriculum to it? These are all of the questions I've had while searching for the perfect curriculum to suit my son's personality and my expectations. There is no one curriculum out there that will work best for every family. So I invite you to join me in my search to find out what every curriculum has to offer so that you can feel confident in your curriculum choice and enjoy your homeschooling journey that much more. Right where you find all of your homeschool how-to podcast episodes, you'll see my curriculum series, and you can subscribe today.
Both of my kids, like I said, are very different. Just yesterday, one of them asked me about college and can he live here when he goes to college. And so we just discussed, like, not everybody has to go to college. You don't have to go if you don't want to. There's plenty. Like, we just open up the conversations in a different way than was told to me, which was like, no, that's the only way. And then my little one goes, he's the one who says he's never going to school. And then yesterday he announced to our family, he's never going to college. So I said, okay. But I think just like your values are woven into like the fabric of your everyday. And so you just have these conversations with your kids that are probably different than what you had too with your own parents. And so it's not always easy. And I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, like my daughter's in high school. She's obviously experiencing a lot, but I've worked really hard to have a very good relationship with her. And I tell people, like, teens are not that bad. She's great. Like, I say to myself, I don't know how I got so lucky, but in what she tells me, I also feel validation in the way I chose to do things, because we are able to have open communication about so many things, some of which sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like I could never have this conversation with my mom. So I feel like the biggest tool that I use with my kids here is just that, you know, talking about all different things. And I answer questions because kids ask questions. So it's not about having them in a bubble, which is like not true either. They will ask me questions. And I will answer to the best of my ability according to their development. And then that's it. If they ask more, we give more. But I certainly don't introduce things that I don't need to introduce or talk about before I need to. And even then, like you said, people still will be like, well, you're so crazy and you're so close-minded and you're such a bigot. And for some people, I'm like this far right-wing conservative Christian. And then for some people, I'm liberal. So then I'm like, I don't even know where I fall. I certainly fall. I would consider myself a lot more conservative than I ever was. But even then, I'm not in a box because I'm not there either. So there is no room for nuance and for people to just be sometimes on social media, which I think is difficult.
Oh, very difficult. Yeah. And I think there's different views of conservative because of what media and things portray it as when they're fighting each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to say the racist bigot, you know, that sort of stuff. And I used to be super liberal and then I went conservative and now I'm like, no, the government's all opposite wings of the same bird. And they're just the bird is crushing us down. We are like the branch, right? And the bird is just crushing us down. It's elite and we the people. And that's the difference, right? Not right versus left. We're all just people that are like trying to make it through the day. You know, I really feel like the general mass of people, they don't care what the other person's doing, frankly.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, the media wants to make you think that. And you were bringing up about the real world. That's so funny that you said that, because I was just trying to make a post on Instagram the other day and it was like the same words, preparing them for the real world. But what's the real world? I thought the real world was sitting in a cubicle and making money. But then when you think about that, that is some person built the cubicle walls. Man built cubicle walls, right? Man built the money system. Man is telling us what that money is worth with the Federal Reserve that was also built by man, yes. Right? We have no gold to back it. It's not even gold that was made by God doesn't have any place in our money system. So it's like the real world was all constructed. It's a fallacy. Mm-hmm. And what is real is outside the green grass, putting your feet on ground and really like feeling what the grass feels like, seeing the process of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And, or even like I was reading a kid's book. I find that most of my education now is from reading to my 5-year-old and his children's books, because I'm like, I'm learning so much and such an easy way to understand it. But like, you know, the process of like a chicken growing an egg and like how a baby chick, you know, that's a 3-week process, and how the process goes, like how they're able to lay an egg every single day is pretty amazing, and make a shell in their body every single day. All of that is like, that's real. Yeah. Like that's, and then we need eggs and chickens to nourish us, as you know, so that the whole cycle can go on again. So what is the real world? Exactly. Is it, you know, being in the backyard, or is it sitting with a curriculum book, or being in a cubicle waiting for a pension?
Being tested and it's quantified, so, and measured, and like all this. Yeah. It's really neat when you have that shift, though, because I feel like it has been so conditioned and so programmed into us that when you finally like the veil comes off, you're like, oh shoot, I can live my life however I want. Like it is. And I have always said that I resonate with that so much, that I feel like, you know, even spiritually, I connect to God in nature the most, because it's where I know it's real. I feel the grass. I feel the air. I see the animals. I can touch things. And there's just, I don't know, for me too, I get so excited about that stuff. And those are the things that I really want my kids. Like our winter has been mild, so we've been getting out extra these days. We've been kind of lucky here, but yeah, I try to get them outside every day and get some sun and move their bodies. And sometimes when I'm tired and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I really wish that bus would take them for like a day so I can get a break. I'm like, oh, they
really I'm paying the taxes. I mean, come on.
Yes. But then homework too. I hate homework. I hate them coming home. I'm like, didn't they do enough in school? Why do you have to add an hour or two? When do they get to spend time with their family? When then do they get to eat dinner together? When do they get to just be? Just be. Mm-hmm. And it's such a rat race with so many parents who sometimes are in a season where they have to, right? They just have to work financially. There's no other choice. But I've also had a lot of conversations with parents who are like, I just can't. I don't want to. Like, I need my kids to go because I need a break. And I understand that, because everybody's different. But I feel like, as hard as it is, I love being here with my kids. I'm not saying it's easy. But I love having all that time back, because it goes by so fast. Like, my daughter's 16, so.
It goes by so fast. There's so much that I missed from having my son in daycare that I now see in my daughter. Just like, even just seeing them be bored and like, can we watch the screen? Can we watch the screen? Can we watch the screen? And it's like, all right, no, you cannot. And then once they're through the complaining process, they go find something to do. And it's like just so cute seeing them interact with each other. And I'm like, I say this all the time to my husband and to my son. I'm like, if Colin was in school right now for like 8 hours a day, they would not be making this bond together. Mm-hmm. And like, what a beautiful bond it is, a brother and a sister. And like, they'll have that forever. I mean, yeah, maybe they don't talk to each other when they're older, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that like, this is nurturing something really cool, that, you know, something maybe special.
Your husband too, because I feel like it's true for me. My daughter, when she was in school, would tell me she thought I was a single mom because my husband works very long hours. And if I didn't homeschool the boys, it would be the same thing. They would never really see him because they would go to school and then he doesn't get home till 10 o'clock at night. And then he's off Sundays and Saturday afternoon. So it's literally little hours of a week that they would get to spend with their dad, but this allows us to have all that time back for them too, which is really important to me. So yeah, I'm with you there too.
Yeah. And how you were saying before, like, I understand not everybody can stay home with their kids, but I think if we peeled back the layers of indoctrination and a change in perception and a mindset, that might change. Cause I always said that too. I was like, I thought my sister was nuts just being a stay-at-home mom. I mean, her three kids went to school. Yeah. And I was like, you're still nuts to like stay at home. Like, what are you doing with your life? You're not producing anything. Little did I know, my, you know, peon brain, she's producing children, like humans, yeah, you know, good humans. Yes. And like, that's the hardest work ever. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not easy, but I try to tell my son this when I'm trying to teach him how to read. It is not easy, but when is anything easy mm-hmm. rewarding? Mm-hmm. Like McDonald's is easy. Is it good for us? Does it nourish you? Does it serve you? No. Making, like I said, I made my first loaf of sourdough bread this week. And it's like, how easy is it to go to the store and spend, you know, $2 on a loaf of bread? That's so easy. Like, why wouldn't you do that? But like, to the feeling of like gratification, like a friend gave me a starter. And so like, that's kind of cool because it's like something that from her family to mine. And then I have to keep this starter alive and like make this bread and figure out like how to make it so that my family likes it. And to know that like they're nourished, they're getting a better quality food without all of the processing and chemicals and stuff that goes into what we buy at the store. I mean, that was just a cool thing that me in my 20s, I would have been like, oh, hell, not for me. I'll be 40 in a week. And I'm like, woo, yeah. I'm glad I escaped that, girl.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because I feel the exact same way. I mean, you got to pay me to want to go to a mall now. And I love the mall. Yes. And now I'm like, I like nice things. So I still, once in a while, I mean, I'm in the country. I spend my days in like chicken boots. So, but once in a while, I like to get dressed up. I still enjoy it, but it's certainly not like at the top of my list. I could care less at this point. I'd rather be barefoot in the sun. And so I do. I love how, you know, they say that we make so many plans, but it's really God's plans that end up happening just the way they're supposed to be. And I feel like that's what it was with me too. Once upon a time, I told a friend, like, homeschoolers are so weird. Like, they don't socialize. Right. Ariana, my oldest, she was maybe two. She's 16. So I said these things. I was like, oh, never. Like, they're weird. And who do they hang out with? And so look at me now. Yeah, it's exactly that. I think we're very used to instant gratification too. So I think when we teach our kids, like those lessons that you're doing, that things that take time and they wait for that gratification at the end of that process, and they learn to enjoy that process, even if it's not easy. Sometimes like making sourdough for the first time, I remember when I did it, I'm not really good in the kitchen. So I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But when I did, I was like, oh my gosh, I made bread and now I know how. And them watching those little lessons where you get a little bit of more of a delayed gratification, I think is really good for them too.
Yeah. And that brings up a good point, not to like totally like bash on my sister's family or anything, but my niece, I was just having a conversation with her because she's 20 And she's just at this crossroads in her life. And I remember being there as well. And, you know, she bought a truck. Like, you could have a home for what this truck cost. She doesn't even work right now. She just got her CDL. And, you know, I remember my mother at least being like, you don't quit a job until you have another one, like a start date for your next job. Mm-hmm. And like somewhere along the line, that kind of lost its morals in our family here. So she has this truck with this huge car payment. She has no concept of how compound interest works or how credit works or how, like, she's gone through vehicles too over the years. So I was trying to like screenshot her, like, this is how much when you buy a vehicle, you're paying in taxes. You're never getting that money back. Even if you sell the car tomorrow, you're not getting back the depreciation from when you drive it off the lot, mm-hmm. if it's brand new, and you're not getting back the taxes. So if you find, oh, oops, I made a mistake. Yeah. Like those couple thousand dollars are just gone. You still got to pay that. That's how many hours of working. And like that concept is just not there. And there's like, she's got good parents. She went to a good school. It's just, I think it's not being taught. And a lot of parents, I think even my sister being a stay-at-home mom, like she still had to like babysit kids, or she worked, you know, a couple years here and then they had a business, a pizza business. So there was like jobs throughout. But I think society makes us so busy, sports, birthday parties for the kid, you know, you can't just invite two kids in the class. You got to invite the whole class. Yes. You know, so it's like they're going to 30 birthday parties a year on the weekends, and they got games and tournaments and, oh, you can play basketball, but the really good ones are on travel basketball too. So then you're like going to 85 basketball games in a week. And it's like society makes us so busy that we're not sitting down, like you said, to have that family dinner, mm-hmm. to be bored, or to talk, have a conversation about how interest works when you buy a car and why it's not a good idea. Like, you know, I'm 40 and I've never had a brand new car, nor do I want one, because like I said, you drive it off the lot and it loses all that value. Like, I don't want that. I hit so many things. But like the concepts aren't there. And then she was telling my sister that she's depressed and like doesn't know where to go with it. And I, you know, so my sister's coming to me like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And so I was like, all right, I've been here. It wasn't with buying a new truck, but it was with credit card, you know, like, oh, let's just buy this. Cause I had no concept really of, it was always like, I'll make more money later and then it won't be a problem to pay it off. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's, and they do that to us with college too.
Yep.
Just go now, take the loans out now, and then you'll make money later. So you can just easily pay it off, but it's not reality. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was nodding in such agreement when your son, you were saying that your son was saying, I don't want to go to college, because it's like, maybe that's not the path for him. Maybe that's not even like whatever he wants to do, probably doesn't need a college degree. He could just learn it online.
And actually, or hands my daughter this too. And I said, listen, I love you. And I know I'm probably the only one in my family who has ever like uttered these words, but unless you want to be, because you like are so passionate about being a doctor or a lawyer or something where you have no choice but to go to college, you are not going to tell me that you're going to go to college for like social studies or like some random, like it's not happening. It's just like, that's not, we're not going there. So
liberal arts.
So she actually goes to a technical high school right now. She's taking cinematography. She really enjoys it. She loves photography. I have a girlfriend who's a photographer. And I'm like, hey, can she shadow you? Can you like put her to work? And so awesome. My daughter's like, yeah, give me her number. I'll text her. And I'm like, I would just need to expose her to all the different things that she actually, one, enjoys to do, but that she can actually turn into something that she can make a living out of and have flexibility, because she is not my kid. She's not meant to be in she likes to move. She's like me. She's like a wild soul. And I'm like, you would not be happy making a lot of money in an office. It just, I know your heart. And so it is interesting. And I think I have been the only person in my family to say that, which is fine.
But they're, I don't care. They're indoctrinated too, and they have the best intentions when they say go to college. You know, most people do. They're not saying go to college so that you can become indoctrinated by the Rockefellers for 4 more years and fall into debt. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, go to college to have a better future. They don't like look anything past that. But yeah, it's so hard. And, you know, I was trying to tell my niece, like, listen, why do you feel like you need a truck that expensive? Like what? And like you said, that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And that's what social media is teaching our kids now. Mm-hmm. It's I'm gratified from that post. Okay. I'm not swipe this way or that way, you know? And it's
rewiring our brains. And it's so hard as an adult to bring yourself back. And it, even for kids, it really is an interesting world right now for them in high school, with people having their phones accessible all the time, using them in class, recording people in the hallways. You know, when I went to school, things ended. You got home and the drama sort of ended and you went back, and now it just, you know, permeates throughout your evening and your night. And actually my daughter's friends make fun of her because she goes to bed so early. She's like in bed by 9 and she needs her sleep. She just knows she does. And then she wakes up super early in the morning. Not kidding. Like I wake up at 4 because I like to be up before my kids are up. Sometimes it's 4:30 and she's up and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like meditating and writing in her journal and doing, like, she really is just, she's such a fun kid. And, she has given me her phone and has said, Mom, I have been scrolling too much. I don't feel good. Take it. And even if I ask for it back, say no. And I'm like, okay, wow. Good.
I want to thank you so much for listening today. There's a million podcasts out there. I am so honored that you clicked play on my show. I also have some affiliates that I want to let you guys know about. I make sure that they are American-made, American-based, and have American values. Earthly Wellness, they are out of Ohio. They have body care products, herbal remedies, vitamins and minerals, cleaning products, baby products, skincare, children's books, essential oil blends, gut health and detox, health guides, immune support, and homeschool studies. I use their anxiety relief oil. I also use their Goodnight Magnesium Lotion, their all natural aluminum free deodorant, their chapsticks. They have all natural remedies for coughs. There's so much. Check out their website through my link, earthly.com/homeschoolHT. And you can get the link and the code for 10% off of your entire purchase in today's show notes. I also work with the Tuttle Twins. You guys know that. I'm a big fan of their work. They have books that talk about things like the Constitution, how capitalism works, like how actually like running a business and the difference between supply and demand and prices versus quality. I love reading these books to my son. I've been reading them to him for over a year. He's 5 years old right now. And he enjoys them. He enjoys the pictures. The message is put in such a way that it's easy for them to understand. And it's easy for adults to understand. Let's face it, a lot of us didn't learn this stuff either. I'm learning right along with him. And I love the conversations that it provokes between us. You know, there's discussion questions in the back of the book. It's really fun to read these books over and over again. If you'd like 40% off for the entire series of ages 5 through 11 books, again, head to today's show notes. You can head right on over to thehomeschoolhowto.com and under listener discount, find the Tuttle Twins, and all the information is right there, along with all of my other affiliates. Raise Them Well is another company I've been working with. Again, American-based. My son uses their vitamins. I really love that it is a chewable vitamin versus a gummy. The gummies get stuck in their teeth and cause cavities. I haven't been able to find other chewables except Flintstones. And let's face it, it's probably not great if it's coming off of the shelf at Walmart. Head on over to my website and grab the Raise Them Well link under my listener discounts page. Treehouse Schoolhouse is also another amazing company that I'm an affiliate with. I had Lindsay on my podcast on episode 21. She talks about how she was homeschooling even before she had kids. Along the way and through homeschooling her own children, she has developed different curriculums. I just did the Connected Christmas and I loved it. I did it with my 5-year-old son. Lindsay also has a whole line of nature studies that I'm looking forward to doing this springtime. You can go on thehomeschoolhowto.com under listener discounts and find a discount code there. My Homeschool Village is another great company. Becky, who was on episode 13, started homeschooling 20 years ago, and she has created an entire village of homeschoolers for the mom or dad who just doesn't know where to start. I would send you here. My Homeschool Village is a comprehensive, all-inclusive, everything you need to know, and provides the community for you so that you can ask questions and get feedback and get advice. head on over to her link through my website as well. And if you're not able to support the show through a donation or merchandise or an affiliate, if you could write us a review, that goes a long way as well. That helps boost us in the search when people go to look for homeschooling podcasts. And I haven't had a review since last August. So I really urge you to write a review. I would so appreciate it. This has been a great year. We're at our 1 year anniversary. Thank you for learning right along with me and for your love of the next generation.
So I don't tell her not to have it. Certain apps, yes, but for the most part, like if she wanted TikTok, she could have it. If she wanted Snapchat, she could have it. As long as I observe that she is okay and that she is mostly able to regulate herself around it, which she has shown me numerous times. Like when she starts to feel off, she's like, I need to bring myself back to center. This is not good right now. And that's hard for an adult. So it's like so much harder for kids. And it is definitely part of what's playing into everybody's comparison of everybody else right now. So
yes. And it takes us away from that nature sort of and creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been my newest thing too, is like seeing the depression rates. And even like my niece saying that to my sister. And how do you tell a 20-year-old this? You really can't. But if she herself said, let me take away my screen for 30 days. Mm-hmm. Your first few days are going to be uncomfortable, like an alcoholic or a drug addict giving up, you know, what they are addicted to. But after that first couple of days, you're going to probably start to feel better. You know, you're going to find different things to do, and or even to just say, okay, I'm just going to use it for 30 minutes a day. We don't realize how much we actually use it and how addicted to it we all are. Yes. And like you said, adults too. And I do find that very hard parenting, because my son will be like, can I play video games? And you know, like we have like a Nintendo 64. Yeah. It's really old. It's not, but he likes to play it. And I'm like, no, cause you know, you did it for an hour yesterday. But then I'm like, well, I feel bad saying no, cause my phone is right here. He sees me on it. And I have to be an example. You know, it's super hard. How do you navigate those waters in your house?
It's really hard. I have tried to put like boundaries. Like I don't have Instagram notifications. Instagram is where like I'm at most of the time. I love it. It's a fun place. I love connecting with my people. I've built and nurtured relationships just online with women that I find like remarkable. And so I love that part of it. But I have had to put some boundaries. Like I don't have notifications, so I don't really know when people are in my inbox until I actually go on my app. I don't scroll or go on my phone like first thing that I, like it's not what happens first in my morning. So I wait until a certain time to actually check my phone on a daily basis. Otherwise, it's crazy what our brains do. Like we get up and it's like a sense of urgency for something that's not urgent at all. And I try to get like the chunk of my work done since it is from my phone before they're up. And then throughout the day, like in small pockets of time, and I will announce, hey, mommy's sitting down to get some work done on my phone right now. Like I just don't sit and scroll. I kind of let them know what is happening. They know mommy works from her phone, so I can be with them. Because it's, you can get very easily like sucked into the back and forth. And, I really don't scroll. My husband does. He's a big scroller. And so we have these conversations all the time. Cause I'm like, what are you looking at? What are you doing? But it's that, you know, from one to the next, and it's entertaining and it's funny and all that stuff. So I try my best not to really consume as much as I create.
Yeah. And that is hard too in our house. So if at the moment I'm like, okay, we're making dinner, we're going to sit down for dinner. So nobody's on the phone right now. Nobody's doing any sort of screen. So I put mine away. And then, my husband will be looking up something. And I'm like, I have decided right now it is not time for screen. We are giving an example to our children right now. Put the phone away. Yeah. And he's kind of like, last night at this time, you had your phone. So that is hard. And I think that's a good idea. Like if the family could set boundaries for like, hey, listen, okay, mommy has work, but I don't want to lie to you. Mommy's also doing probably nonsensical things like scrolling sometimes too. So that's got to equate to like, maybe they get video game time or, you know, a show, well, you know, the same amount of hours or maybe less, because it's like, well, I didn't have screens like that when I was a kid. I had TV, but it's not like we had internet when I was a child. And it's funny, like we have to remind our kids this, like they think it's been here forever.
Yes.
Right. Like people, we have to remind kids. Internet didn't exist when mommy and daddy were little, like at least for most of us. I'll be 40. So, you know,
no, it was
25 year olds out there
when it was like AOL dial up that started.
Yeah, it was in middle school when AOL came around. But when I was five, it was like, no, you watched Full House and that's what you got.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not against screen time. I really, so I know it affects my middle mostly. I'm aware of it. I know it. His ADHD, it like gets woof, like in particular shows too. He starts bouncing off the wall. So I do control what they are watching, but I don't necessarily say no screens. However, there have been times when his behavior gets so extreme that I'm like, okay, we need to cut it. Like we're going to have a few days where it's just not happening. But I use it and I do not feel guilty when I use it. If I need to prep dinner and we're on 5 acres, and so sometimes they kind of just wander away. And if I'm like going to be worried that like, I don't know where they are, they're fighting boys, they're like, I don't know, wrestling naked on the driveway. Like I'll just be like, I'm putting on, you get, you know, 45 minutes while I cook, this is your time. And that's it. So yes, I feel like we can. And then sometimes, like last month, my basement flooded 4 times. They were watching of TV because I had to deal with that here, drying. Clean up, yeah. And so there are times when maybe they watch 3 hours of TV a day. And I'm like, oops, sorry. Like that's just what I had to do and not feel guilty about it. But find something that works for your family. I think, again, that's where like that family culture kind of plays big, because what might be okay for me, maybe it's not for you, but if you feel good, then I think that's what it's about.
That makes a lot of sense. Give yourself that permission, that grace to say like, okay. And I'll do that too. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel like the baby, she's only 1.5. And I feel like she's been watching Miss Rachel on YouTube. And now it's in my head, you know, way too much. But also then I'll like talk to her and I'm like, this is a baby genius. What is Miss Rachel doing on that show? Oh my God.
Niece watches Miss Rachel. So I know she's like, Miss Rachel's a big deal apparently. So yeah.
She is. But yeah, you can't let your kids watch it and then beat yourself up about letting them watch it. You know, if you're going to set the boundaries moving forward. Like don't feel guilty about what happened in the past. Yeah. And also like, yeah, I do feel like my child is on a suicide mission. Like my 5-year-old is just always on a suicide mission. And so, yeah, I understand how some parents just put them in front of the TV to like, just keep them alive.
Yeah.
Like just to keep them alive.
It really is a safety, a matter of like safety, actually. It's not even like I need a break. It's more like I need to know where you are. I need to know you're sitting here. So, and sometimes I'll go on their level and just look at them and be like, you guys realize you need to eat to survive, right? Like I need to actually get through cooking this meal. Can you cooperate? Can you sit? Right. And my little one doesn't really love watching as much as my middle. So sometimes he'll still wander off, but at least I know like it's funny. My little one is more capable and more independent than my older one. So I trust him alone in the woods more than I trust my 9-year-old in the woods. So, and actually 2 weeks ago, he was upset and he left and he didn't realize it was going to be dark. And so it got dark and my daughter and I are like, where did he go? And he knew his way back, but still it's like those moments. So I will happily put on a show to like minimize the battle for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It is hard. I commend those families that don't do screen time. Like that's amazing. I just don't know how, because I grew up with a TV, you know, so yeah. We all have different levels that we're comfortable with. And I think like you were starting out the episode with not being in a box. Yeah. And I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't, and even like I had a post yesterday that a lot of or the other day that a lot of people liked. It was like what I learned in my first year of this podcast. And in it, I put things that obviously aren't going to sit well with people that send their kids to school. Well, I can't say obviously. It obviously, just because there was some pushback, like, oh, you shouldn't be making people feel bad. I'm like, if you felt bad, yeah, it's because your own insecurity, yeah, with the situation. But it's, you know, and nowhere was I like, oh my God, you're evil.
No, I think I've gotten that told that too. Like, you have to be careful how you say things. I go, well, I'm not responsible for how you interpret what I said. I'm speaking, I mean, unless I'm really being a you know what, like on purpose, which plenty of people are. But unless you're doing that, if you are just sharing what works for you, you're speaking to the people that it speaks to. I find, yeah, it interesting when people have to come back and clap back and make it about them. And mm-hmm, I'm always like, it's not my responsibility how you respond to – that's on you. How I respond to something is on me. And mm-hmm, I always say that in my community too, and I tell that to my kids all the time. You don't have to answer back. You can choose to let it go. Just keep on scrolling. I get triggered all the time. I'm sure you do too. I see stuff on social and I'm like, you know, like, oh my goodness, I cannot. And what do I do? Like, I just like take a deep breath and I'm like, it's not about me. Move along, keep on, you know, something else. But again, I think that a lot of people just can't. They just can't. They get really upset. They take it personal and they make it about themselves when in reality, you're just sharing what resonates with you and your life and what's going to resonate with your people. So, yeah.
And how much that whole process that you mentioned right there contributes to depression, right? Mm-hmm. Like that different neurotransmitters are going off in your brain when things like that are happening and different connections are being made and dopamine levels. And, you know, so that stuff, it all connects. So yeah, it does. It all ties in, okay, and just getting outside in nature, putting the feet in the ground, yep, with your child running through the woods naked. I mean, it all helps. There's a balance between it. And like, we're all just trying to navigate how best to do this balance. But of course, school is going to be better for some children. I mean, I didn't have the greatest childhood. I don't think I would have done well homeschooled. And I don't think my mother ever read a book to me. So I don't think homeschool probably would have worked out for me. But the only thing I liked about school was, oh, that boy's cute. Oh, let's like be the, you know, little girl clique. And, you know, that was the only part I liked. None of what I liked about school actually had to do with like learning. I don't feel like I learned very much, but that's just my experience.
Same. So it's about having your kids actually enjoy the process of learning. And I always say to my mamas that have their kids in school, you can be very actively involved in the education of your child, even if they're in school.
Yeah.
If that's the path you choose and it works for you, that's cool. But you can still have that mindset shift where you're focusing more on the process versus the outcome, like more on what are you learning? How was your day? Talk to me about your friends. Like, tell me about your life. I care about you, not necessarily how good of a grade you can get. You can also be very involved with like, what are you actually showing my kid? What is my kid actually exposed to? Like, you can open your mouth, you can go, you can make yourself known. And I think that sometimes parents back away from that because they're so busy. But I think you can still be very active, even if your kid is going to school too.
Yeah, parents are busy and we're also kind of made to think that we're not as smart as like what's going on in the institution, the teachers, because they need the 4-year degree plus the graduate degree and all the administrators and all that. Like, you know, it's an intimidation kind of factor. And I've had parents on the podcast that have had these sit down meetings with saying it is a total intimidation. Like if you're trying to fight for something, it's intimidating to do at the school, but you are right. You got to power through and do it. Get her done. Mm-hmm. I have one more question for you. And then I want you to tell us about the Motherhood Project and where to find you. But what was your reaction when your daughter said, I want to go into school and I don't want to be homeschooled anymore?
We had been asked, like talking about it for like the year before that too. She decided to be home. And I was sad. I was sad because I wanted more time with her. I wanted more time with her, but I also perfectly understood that based on her temperament, the things that we had been able to do together, we were not able to do anymore. I had Lucas, my 9-year-old, who was taking up all of me. Like, I had early intervention every day at my house. I had therapies. I had, like, we just were going through a lot of things for him. And then my youngest was born. And I said, she needs more than I can give her right now. And that's okay. So mm-hmm. I was very sad because I missed her. But I was also happy to see that she thrived. Like, there was no weird, you know, sometimes homeschoolers are kind of nervous about that back to school if they've been out for a long time. And she kind of just right back in, made great friends, was loved by all her teachers. And that's the thing too, homeschoolers, I'm not sure if you've gotten this before or talked to somebody, but when your kids do go back to school, the teachers know. They just notice. And I have gotten so many times, like, she's just different. And then talking about other homeschool kids, what a teacher's viewpoint on how they interact in class, on how they behave, et cetera. There is a marked difference that I've talked to different teachers about. And it's just really nice to kind of get that feedback from the teachers too. I still miss her. Yeah. I'm still like, you sure you don't want to like be here? but I also honor her choices at this point and respect them for herself too. So, but yeah.
I think that's important for parents to hear because, yeah, there might come a time and it's not a giving up. It's just you've done, you know, your work and now it's time to expand even more. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even though it is sad. So what is a motherhood project and where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram at a motherhood project. And basically it is a space that came from my heart for mothers to know that they're good enough, that you never have to fit into a box, and that even though motherhood is plenty of crazy and chaos, that we can navigate it with some grace. And so I kind of just share a lot of real motherhood stuff that happens here in our crazy home.
Well, I will link that in the show's description. So if people want to check you out, they can. And I thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun talking with you, for sure.
You too, Sarah. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.